You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Thursday morning to you. Michael Francis McNamara, as my mother named me. Good morning to you. Hope is all is well in your neck of the woods. Just read a story about a golf course delivering food with drones. No more girl in the golf cart? You get a drone instead? What's the point of golfing then, for God's sake? Wow. Machines. You don't even have to deal with people anymore. A lot of news. A little bit of news going around the world. I have to thank everybody who's like listened to the interview I did with my sister and shared it and reacted to it. Very cool. You know, I tell people when you don't know what to do, don't say stupid shit, right? Don't do that. Just go up and give somebody a hug. So many of the people that have listened to that interview were at St. Francis Church in Sacramento during the funeral. And I don't like to be hokey. You know, and there's a song that I think Bette Midler sang called "The Wind Beneath My Wings." Well, when your heart is so heavy, dealing with life, whoever wrote that song, you know, experienced that. All these people that some of them you haven't seen in decades show up. And it's amazing. And, you know, the same thing has kind of happened with her interview. Certainly not unexpected. But it's just such a cool thing. And I hope people get that although the story is a terrible, terrible story, it's not the same story from 22 years ago. It's a better story. It's Peggy, my sister, reaching out and telling her story so that somebody else will benefit. And as you all who listen to the program have already heard, it's already happened before it even hit the air yesterday. when a girl in Texas heard Mike Musselman talking to me about the interview and walked up to him and said, "Could I talk to you?" And again, you've heard the story, but if you haven't, long story short, she'd been raped as a six-year-old. Her family told her never to speak about it. And so she approached Mike, and they talked a couple of different times, and then they went down to the police station together. And she would like to come on All Marine Radio and talk about it. Now, I don't know if that will ever happen and whatnot, and not sure how that'll turn out for her. But I think the important part is the beginning of reclaiming your life and then wanting to share your story and unburden yourself and hoping that other people will listen and they will get it. And it might change their lives, right? And I think everybody would say, if I could change one life, it would be worth it to me. If I could impact somebody's life in a positive way. So that's the story. The story is out of something so terrible that, that people are hopefully will listen to it. And anybody who's seen it on Facebook will share it with all their friends. And in particular, people whose lives have been impacted by trauma. And, it's the one thing that it's what started All Marine Radio. That trauma leads to 20 veterans a day committing suicide. And so the concept of All Marine Radio was, we'll talk about the culture that we love so much that, I've gone to war with three different times and spent a lot of my life involved in. And I love it. I love the passion. I love the intensity. I love the sometimes irrational nature of Marines, and I love the toughness. All of that is what drew me to the culture and what made me love the culture. And so wanting to give back, and then as this thing has continued, one of the things I think that we have all discovered as veterans is that there's so much trauma in our communities, and Mike and I were talking about this yesterday. In the Marine Corps, we're at least having the conversation about trauma and mental health and things like that. Most people that encounter it, they don't come from that culture. They don't come from a culture that even addresses it. And we're not great in the Marine Corps at it. I think the Marine Corps is getting better at it. But certainly when we started, war in 2002, we sucked at it. But that's changed. And so I think it's really cool as veterans that we can say the same thing to civilians, but it's really interesting because they've never heard it. Like, Marines have heard some of it, right? So you talk to them about it, and they're like, okay, I got it. Yeah, that makes sense to me. Civilians are like, what did you say? So to me, that's the significant thing is to share Peggy's story, and so that somebody else affected by trauma, might have their burden lightened a little bit, might have their pain eased a little bit by beginning to understand that it's okay to hurt. It's okay not to get over it. It's okay to say time heals all wounds is bullshit, because it is. And so, share that interview as often as you can. When you bump into people that are struggling, tell them, hey, I got something I want you to listen to. And, and preach the gospel of coexisting with trauma as my sister has had to live. And so I just want to thank everybody who's sent an email, who's made a comment on Facebook, who shared it. That's exactly why when Peggy and I talked about doing it after 22 years. That's exactly why she did it. It's awesome. 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 So, thank you to everybody. Today you're going to hear another story that will blow your mind. Chris Kling is going to join us. Chris Kling is a professional interventionist. He's formerly, he works over in the Scottsdale area, right? He works for an organization called Love in Action. They do interventions around the country. Chris's story is, first of all, I meet Chris because his younger brother, Gary, is an F-18 pilot. We served together in Ramadi in 2004. His call sign is Static. He was the division air officer. He's funny too. He's got this dry, kind of blunt sense of humor, and he's smart as a whip. So Static sends me a text and says, "Hey man, you should have my brother on your program. You two blockheads would get along." So anyway, Chris, his story is he joins the Marine Corps out of high school. After I think he's going to junior college over in Scottsdale, and he's a PT stud. He's that guy, right? So honor grad in boot camp, smart guy too, like his brother. He's the honor grad at SOI, and so has and he's a machine gunner. He's a I won't say water walker, but he's a good Marine, right? Gets out, flounders, ultimately becomes a homeless intravenous drug user, in and out of jail, contemplating suicide. And he ultimately turns his life around. And he's a now he supports families that do interventions around the country trying to save a family member. So you'll hear his story. You'll hear what it's like to do interventions. You know, for me, interesting because, you know, Peggy alluded to it yesterday, but there's four of us in my family, myself and my three sisters. Peggy is 15 months older than me. My sister Maureen, 2 years younger than me. And then my sister Susan, born in 63, so she's 6 years younger than me. So Maureen died as a result of exposure from alcohol poisoning. She essentially froze to death. And she had incredible demons. And she couldn't, she had every gift that God could give you in terms of looks and intelligence and being athletic and personality. But she had demons. And so my family's dealt with, you know, with somebody like Chris in our family. And I don't know, I was overseas and my sisters and mom got together and did an intervention with my sister. So, I mean, this is rough stuff, you know, to the point where families exclude somebody from, you know, from their family. So you're going to meet Chris Kling tonight. You're going to meet him this morning. And so you're going to hear his story. And, it's an amazing one. It's an amazing story. And so, and it's a good story. So, so don't touch that dial. So, Chris Kling, I've got a couple emails I'll share with you. And, then again, I just want to emphasize, I hope when you hear Peggy's story that don't focus simply on the tragedy. Focus on, the word that keeps popping in my head is redemption, and I don't even know if that's a right word, but focus on the Phoenix aspect of it in terms of, you know, being faced with that kind of traumatic event in your life and somehow or other 22 years later finding the strength to say, yeah, it's I want to help other people now. And so I think that's the part that it's certainly the part that I focus on as a brother and somebody who's kind of walked with her for those 22 years, in that that interview represents an incredible day in all of our lives. And that is a day that, you know, I think we could only dream about as being someday. And those of you who live with people in your family who do suffer from trauma, you know, the only advice I would give you is, when it's appropriate, gently nudge them towards helping others. And there's nothing you can do about the past, right? And most of the people that suffer from trauma didn't sign up for it, don't deserve it, and it sure as hell isn't fair. But what do you do, right? What do you do when life gives you lemons? You make lemonade, or you try to make it. Maybe you can't make lemonade. Maybe the best you can do is make lemon-flavored water. You know what? And that's good enough. That's good enough. But I would tell you that the reason to do it is what you hear on the radio when you hear Mike's voice, or when you heard F-18 guy's voice, Rudy's voice. All right, is the excitement and the joy of changing somebody else's life. That will never make the trauma go away. Okay, it will lessen the trauma's impact on you, though. It'll loosen its grip just a little bit. And that's as good as you can do. That's as good as you can do. So I hope that's what people hear when they listen to that, when they listen to Peggy's interview. Okay. So with that said, we need to make this thing official. This is like getting to the bottom of the fifth inning in a baseball game. Makes it official. Complete game. Not a complete game, but what do they call it? It is now in the books. It's now a legal game. I don't know. There's a term for it. It'll come to me at some point. So, good morning to you on this Thursday, the 6th day of September. Dedicated to the gunner and a girl in Texas who heard Peggy's story, whose life has been changed, and now hopefully wants to change somebody else's life. But this is dedicated to them.
Our fight comes close to men. You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say honestly and bluntly.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Can you imagine, were you a Vietnam veteran, and you came home, and they told you to take your uniform off and don't talk about it and just forget about it?
I can't even imagine. I have so much respect for those guys.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds, and win. You got to win.
/7:23 on the west coast of the United States. Listen to this. I actually had to close the windows last night to go to sleep. Yep. Closing the windows. With a blanket? Come on, that's awesome. Yeah, what? Close the windows? Are you kidding me? Only in Montana are they saying, well, what's the issue? What's the big deal, man? I don't get it. Let me do the weather, all right, before I get sidetracked. Sunny in 82 in Quantico, Virginia. Partly cloudy in 84 at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. Mac, there's no R in that word. I know. It's how the family pronounces it. I don't pronounce my name McNamara, and you better not either. Right? They don't pronounce it Lejeune. They pronounce it Lejeune. Because they're from Louisiana. I don't know why that's a difficult concept to understand for you meatheads out here. Yeah, think about it. Think about it. God gave your brain, use it. Partly cloudy in 75 in Granbury, Texas. Yeah, cooled off in Texas. Big Timber, Montana. It is partly cloudy in 52. 29 Palms, sunny in 76. Wow. You want to be in 29 Palms right now. Or maybe going through there on your way to somebody else. There's not a whole lot going on in 29 Palms. In spite of the new Walmart that's out there. The new Super Walmart. Clouds in 60 at Camp Pendleton. 60. Yeah, that's good sleeping weather. Clouds dark and 82 in Okinawa with a couple of weather advisories. Early evening in Helmand Province. 86 degrees. In the Lashkarga Marja area, and in beautiful Costa Mesa, California, the corporate headquarters of All Marine Radio. It is cloudy and 66 degrees as I speak, looking for a high of 79 beautiful degrees. 81 tomorrow and 87 on Saturday. Saturday, not happy about that. All right, let me read you an email from the one and only Libby. Libby sent me She's a mom, right? And so Libby is now the patron saint of all mothers. You know, she speaks of the mothers on this program. But what her voice does embody for me is one of the voices that I hear from on a regular basis, and I enjoy the heck out of it. But she has a perspective that I don't have, and that is what it is to be a mom, to not have grown up in our culture, who, you know, has a son who went off to it, who came back different, and different. Some of the ways were good, some of the ways were not very good. And watching your son struggle and go down a path that, as a parent, would literally scare the hell out of you. And so she's Luke's mom. So anyway, this is entitled Second Thoughts. I know what you're saying about focusing on the light of Peggy's story. It's hard to absorb her experience without hearing all the pain and hopelessness, but you are right. We must take away the positive, Peggy's strength, hope, perseverance to live, exclamation mark. You know what, and again, that's, yes, okay, because let me just say this, and if you didn't listen to the last 30 minutes of the interview, go listen to it, because honestly, even the interview can't do justice to how horrible what happened was. And then all the different second and third order effects. And I just talk about a few of them, you know. I just talk about a few of them after the interview ends, you know, having to tell your six-year-old and nine-year-old because the news is on ESPN that their cousins, you know, were murdered by their father. You know, what do you say? How do you do that? You know, all the different ripple effects of that kind of story, you know, 22 years ago. You know, I got a number of emails about, I told a story about taking my sons to the cemetery because they asked to go, and standing there, and then my oldest, you know, looking at me and said, "Do you think it hurt?" Right? So here's a 10-year-old kid who knows what happened, because you had to tell him so that he doesn't hear it from somebody else, and he's trying to get his head around it, right? And, you know, it's brutal stuff, you know, but it's not the same story 22 years later. It's a story about survival. It's about learning to coexist with trauma. And again, it's about the ups and downs of it, because the road to that interview yesterday, it's not a beautiful super highway. You know, it's a crooked path with holes in it and cliffs on the sides and stuff like that. It's not easy. And so that's why, you know, so if you don't look at it in that context, then I think you can only see the overwhelming pain. And even if you do look at it in that context, there's still the overwhelming pain. But from that overwhelming pain comes a story of somebody who's regained a much happiness in her life. And in my opinion, this is only going to make that better. And so, you know, I guess in the absolute context, horrible story, right? In the relative context of 22 years, it was an awesome day and a gigantic step for my sister. And, you know, people that understand trauma understand the relative, and that's what Libby's writing about, is the relative joy, So, yes. And so, again, I think that, you know, we don't live in a world of absolutes. You're a human. You live in a world of relatives. Right? It's relative to your situation. So, on that note, we'll take a break. Come back, check some news headlines. Chris Kling going to join us at the top of the hour, and you're going to hear from him. His story is amazing as well. And, you know, I tell I say this to my kids, and I said it to my kids. They won't roll their eyes because now they're older. They know it to be true. Life's not for pussies, man. If you're going to be happy, you're going to fight for that. You're going to fight for your happiness. You're going to fight to protect it. And it is not, so that's what I say. Okay. You could clean that up and say life's not for the faint of heart. All right. That you have to be tough or life will devour you. And I don't know that we teach that so much anymore, because so much of what young people are taught today is about their feelings. And I mean, I don't know that I ever heard, how did that make you feel, until I went to see a therapist in my life. That's all kids hear today. How did that make you feel? So if the world revolves around your feelings, yikes, man. Yikes, yikes, triple yikes. I'm not sure how that works. That every day you're rolling around, you know, trying to make sense of how your feelings got hurt. And then where do we teach toughness? Hey, suck it up. Can you say that even as a coach? You know, I don't know that you can. And I'll tell you what, if you don't learn those lessons, you're going to have a tough life as a hummingbird. Right? Because it's waiting for you out there. Trust me. I've lived it. It's waiting for you. And it's got some for you. Right? And if you're waiting for somebody to come hold your hand and take your burden from you and make it all good and worry about your feelings, good luck, man. Doesn't tend to work like that. And what happens when nobody's prepared you for that and you hit that? You just automatically learn how to deal with it? Yeah, I don't think it works like that. So, but yeah, life's not for the faint of heart, or life's not for pussies, man. Anyway, and I hope that doesn't offend anybody. Certainly not meant to. It's simply, you know, the way I say it to my kids. So we'll take a break. More of All Marine Radio on a happy Thursday. On a happy Thursday. And again, Mike's come on. I've told the story a few times, but that story has already changed one life. Changed a life. Okay? Changed a life. And it will change others. There's no doubt in my mind. As it reverberates around, what do we call that? It's not an ecosystem. What is it? It's not the internet. Oh, our virtual world. As it moves around and touches people, and people listen to it, especially those affected by trauma, it will no doubt change it. So very cool. And again, a good day is out of very, very tough circumstances. So, yeah, for all you grandparents out there and all you parents, if you're not teaching your kids to be tough, you're not raising them right. Okay, and it's not simply about making tough kids. It's about their ability to survive in a world that's not very kind sometimes. More of All Marine Radio. All Parenting Radio, coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led into Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Volleyball team took it on the chin yesterday. Won the first game, lost the next two. Yeah, lost it to Garbage Grove, otherwise known as Garden Grove. The Vaqueros. Yeah, seriously, I listen to the song all day. I don't even know the words to it. I just like her voice. And what it sings to me is being a survivor, getting through it, struggling through it. I like harmonies too. I can tell you half the words she sings. So I'm gonna sit here and watch this cigarette burn. Did she sing something about cigarettes in there? All right, let's check the headlines. I've got these email questions about the news in the last couple days. Dude, what about Colin Kaepernick? Hey, good for Colin Kaepernick, right? He's making money off Nike. I do think, though, Nike's going to experience what the NFL experienced. I won't buy anything from Nike. Okay? And I will just tell you this. Professional sports, that whole business, is such a cutthroat event that if you think you could get those guys to collude, if somebody thought Colin Kaepernick would make them a better football team, somebody would pay Colin Kaepernick. Okay. If they thought that Colin Kaepernick was a missing piece, look, you couldn't stop somebody from hiring that dude. And you know, so he acts like his livelihood was taken away from him. He played his... Look, I'm a 49er fan. He played for the 49ers. Okay? He was horrible. I don't know how Jim Harbaugh, who's now at Michigan, I don't know what they did in his first couple years, you know, but people, you know, if they simplified it so that he could figure it out. But honestly, it was, he played his way out of that league. Okay? And so then the question is, okay, he's not a frontline guy anymore, but he thinks he is, and he wants to be paid like one. You would come here as a backup, and hopefully you would make progress, and you would play. Oh, well, I'm not a backup. I want to be paid like one of the elite quarterbacks in the league. Yeah, well, that ain't happening based on your performance. We're not going to hire you for that. And, oh, by the way, when we do hire you, we're going to take a hit. In our community, we're going to take a hit, right? Our revenue's going to take a hit probably, and so we're going to live with that. So does it make sense to hire that guy as a backup? Not really. And if he won't sign for backup money, then I think the answer's simple. So I guess good for him. You know, that, but I think the narrative's being skewed a bit, which, shocker, right? So Nike's going to experience what the NFL has experienced. And that is, I think a nation, I think the poll I saw, said 57% of Americans think it's disrespectful. Okay. So you want to be cooling down. And so what I would venture to say to you is the demographics of Nike do not include a lot of people in that 57%. That Nike skews younger, right? And so in their demographic, Nike says, yeah, that's what we want. How about it? Good luck. Hope it works out for you. I do believe the narrative is being skewed, though. The next story is that yesterday, the bombshell that got released via the New York Times. An anonymous op-ed in the New York Times. Pretty amazing. Stunning. That allegedly is from somebody who works in the Trump administration, and there's all kinds of speculation of what it is to be a senior staffer in the Trump administration. And that there's if I could paraphrase it, there's people there that will slow roll his initiatives, crop them. And so they will be congruent with Republican and conservative politics, but they will not, you know, they will not pander to him, right? So what does that mean? What does that mean? That's a good question. So explain to me how that manifests itself in American policy. Okay, so we've talked about, you know, the president's statements on Russia are one thing. Okay? Then his behavior next to Vladimir Putin was certainly something different. And then, but our policies are conservative policies. So what do you make of all that? Somebody telling the truth? And the other thing I would, or is it simply people that push back because they rightly believe that the policy is wrong? In which case, that's pretty normal. So, pretty hysterical day in the media yesterday between the Kavanaugh confirmation hearings and senators behaving badly. Well, I shouldn't say that. Senators behaving as senators behave, which always seems to be poor. So you had that going on. Then you had that thing get released, and just the utter hysteria that hits the media. Okay? And so if you haven't seen the op-ed, go ahead and take a look at it. The headline is, "I am part of the resistance inside the Trump administration. I work for the president, but like-minded colleagues and I have vowed to thwart parts of his agenda and his worst inclinations." So his worst inclinations, that's what staff people do all the time. Hey, I want to turn the Euphrates River yellow. It's not a good idea. Why not? Right? Hey, this is a no-shitter. I want to put streetlights in Fallujah. That thing's dark. We need to put streetlights. Okay. Are we going to risk people to go do that? How are we going to power the streetlights in Fallujah? Because, you know, I agree. We need to light that city up, man. How do we do it? Can we get our hands on solar lights? And once we put them up, how do we protect them so the shitheads don't go behind us and just shoot them out? Do we have to try to put OPs watching streetlights? We're going to risk more Marines to go do that? So, I mean, the idea is great. So, okay, so is that thwarting parts of an agenda? Is that dealing with somebody's worst inclinations? I think it's what staff people do all the time. So, again, the op-ed talks about about the successes of the administration have come despite, not because, of the president's leadership style, which is impetuous, adversarial, petty, and ineffective. Okay. So that bombshell. So what do I think of that? What do I think of that is, first of all, when you swear an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States, and you can no longer live up to that oath, then you resign. And you hold a press conference, and you come out and you state why you resign. To anonymously do something like that, to me, is an act of cowardice. Well, I'm serving a greater purpose by staying here and thwarting him. What exactly are you thwarting? I don't understand. His adversarial style? I think he kind of does that all the time. That's him. So I don't know. I don't want to say delusions of grandeur. Right? And so between disagreeing and slow rolling other things, that's stuff that staff people do all the time. Anonymous letters? I've never seen anything like it. And it's interesting that the New York Times would even print that. I wonder if they were ever approached by a Democrat in the Clinton administration that wanted to publish an anonymous op-ed in the New York Times. I wonder what they'll do the next time somebody that they endorse comes to them and say, "Hey, I've got an op-ed I'd like to write." Anonymously, of course. And then there's the question of, does the person who wrote it think that they can legitimately keep their identity a secret in this day and age of hacking and all the rest of this stuff? It'll be interesting to watch. I just think it's dishonorable. If you can't live up to the oath that you took, and I'm not saying you didn't make a mistake or something like that, if you can no longer live up to the oath that you swore to the nation, then there's one course of action: to resign. But I don't know. It seems to me, as I watch the news, that the rules don't apply anymore. And Senator McCain argued for regular order, right? Come back to the rules, compromise and create public policy that both sides are unhappy with, but that's as good as you can do, because in a democracy, progress is supposed to be measured and difficult. And once you remove compromise from the table, then you have what we have today, which is no progress at all. So, and so to me, this is just, you know, am I surprised at it? I guess initially seeing it, yes. But as I thought about it last night, it's like, are you kidding me? This is just one more, this is one more brick in the wall of the cesspool that is Washington, D.C. No longer being able to live up to your oath. The other thing that I want to say is we'll check some Marine Corps stories, right? Marine Corps Times. Let's see. F-35s with 13th MEU enter the Middle East for the first time. Yeah. There's a story rolling around, and here's the headline, Mattis to Spicer, I've killed people for a living. If you call me again, I'm going to effing kill you. I'm going to effing send you to Afghanistan. Now, this is attributed to the Secretary of Defense. I've seen him really pissed, okay? Really pissed. And he doesn't say stuff like that, let alone to a media person. Okay? You're talking about people that have lived disciplined lives their whole life. And now supposedly they click off safe in front of other people and talk shit. You know, it's laughable that guys who are in those position are rolling around, you know, throwing one-liners about the president in front of people that they don't know. It's stupid to me. But it's great fodder. Like, most of the stuff you see, you know, attributed to, quote, Mad Dog Mattis, is bullshit. He does not conduct, first of all, if he doesn't trust you, and he doesn't trust most people, okay, I don't say he has respectful, he respects people's ability to be fickle. Right? Everybody's at arm's length. Yes. Got it. Right? And this is in the Marine Corps. Right? Can you imagine now him in his capacity as a civilian and dealing with civilians? Right? Wait, double, triple arm's length? Yeah. So, anyway. These stories are, they come up all the time. Like, these guys are rolling around just shit-talking around D.C. Another story. House Armed Service Committee Chair warns political fights are endangering national security. Representative Mac Thornberry said turmoil in Congress is undermining efforts to ensure the military has the resources that it needs. And again, what is this? Congress behaving badly. Something that we've gotten used to. Quote, I'm distressed that it's happening in both parties. We have always had fringe elements in our politics, but other than the Civil War, those things that bound us together have been stronger than the forces pulling us apart. The centrifugal forces now are quite strong. I like that. Centrifugal forces, right? Everybody know what a centrifuge is? You spin the tubes, right? Pulls everything to the outside. Yeah, I like that. The centrifugal forces are now quite strong here and elsewhere. And make no mistake, there are those outside our borders who are ready, willing, and able, and more able than ever, to fuel and exploit those forces to our detriment. And he made those comments as he made remarks with at the National Security Leadership Prize that was given out. So, but again, nothing, John McCain's remarks, his death, nothing slows down that is the death machine that is American politics. Burn it down. Doesn't matter. Pompeo, Dunford, hopeful U.S.-Pakistan relations can restart. We all are. Don't get your hopes up. China's involved in Pakistan now. Russia has launched an airstrike in Syria's rebel-held Idlib area. All right. Now, this is where they'll use chemical weapons, and the Americans are already warning Russia and Syria not to do it, yada, yada. The best story today, though, in my humble opinion, is Amazon founder donates $10 million to get more veterans elected to Congress. Amazon founder Jeff Bezos and his family are pushing $10 million into a political action committee focused on getting more veterans elected to Congress, according to a report from the Wall Street Journal. The move comes just 2 months before the contentious November midterm elections and represents a major funding and publicity boost for the advocacy group With Honor, which already has endorsed a bipartisan slate of 33 House candidates. The group announced Bezos' involvement as part of a goal of raising $30 million before November to lower the financial barriers to entry for principled veterans from both parties. You can expect to see them on the program relatively soon, okay, because we're all about that. Top five stories in Early Bird. One, Novichok poisoning. Russian nationals named as suspects. This is from the BBC. Two Russian nationals have been named as suspects in the attempted murder of former Russian spy Sergei Skripal and his daughter Yulia. The men, using the names Alexander Petrov and Ruslan Borishov, are thought to be officers from Russia's military intelligence service. Can you imagine how those guys in that section of the GRU looked at that letter that appeared yesterday? Like, this is unbelievable. This is unbelievable. Second story in Early Bird. I mean, that guy's getting another. Whoever thought that up, thought this whole thing up, that guy's getting another Order of the Motherland Award today. But just simply based on that letter, this is unbelievable. We could never, ever hope that it would have been this good. Number two story, horny bastard first sergeant had affair with a female infantry private, says the Army. Critics said it was bound to happen, and sure enough it did. A company first sergeant began an affair with one of the first women to graduate from infantry basic training shortly after she reported to his newly integrated unit late last year. Both have been punished for it. Sergeant First Class Chase Usher, who had been serving as a top non-commissioned officer in Bravo Company 2nd Battalion, 505th Parachute Infantry Regiment, 3rd Brigade Combat Team, 82nd Airborne, Fort Bragg, North Carolina, has been removed from his position leading soldiers as serving in a staff role in the 82nd Airborne Division. Blah, 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 blah. So, yep. So, hey, that's just the way it goes, man. Does she have any part in that? Does it take two to tango? Was she raped? She's junior, though. She's being exploited. Number three, senators threaten countries that cut ties with Taiwan. Countries that cut diplomatic ties with Taiwan could lose the friendship of the United States under a newly released bill from a bipartisan group of senators. Bipartisan is actually a new word. It used to be bipartisan, but I kind of resliced that a little bit. This is China's economic extortion. You want to do business with us? You want access to this economy? You better cut diplomatic ties with China. So we see it all over the world. You know, it's only a question of time, in my opinion, until that snaps back against China. I mean, China is on the rise militarily, economically, but again, they are a dictatorship. At some point it ends. Fourth story, Pompeo Dunford pressured Pakistan on militant support. So, you know, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Secretary of State, you know, in Pakistan after we suspended, you know, a third of $1 billion essentially of aid to them, saying, look, we want to work with you, but you've got to help us. So we'll see. And again, in the back of that, agenda is China in the background yapping. Hey, don't forget us. We're here. You don't need them. Tell America to stick it up their ass. Number five, here's the blueprint for Eric Prince's $5 billion plan to privatize the Afghan war. Eric Prince is the founder of Blackwater. So let me tell you, when you create a mercenary army and you're doing this essentially as privateers, stand by for that. The all right, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, you're going to hear Chris Klang. Chris Klang, if you just joined the program, former Marine. He is a machine gunner and honor grad in boot camp, honor grad at School of Infantry, meritoriously promoted to Lance Corporal before he hit the fleet, sent to barracks duty in the Philippines. That's a funny story. Philippines in the 80s, in the 70s, in the 60s, in the 50s, big naval base there, Subic Bay. Was outside the gate there at Subic Bay, a city called the Longapo, was Sodom and Gomorrah on steroids. Yep, so he got sent there at about the age of 21 as a Lance Corporal. We'll talk about that. And comes home, gets out of the Marine Corps, becomes homeless, essentially burns it down. Homeless, intravenous drug user, in and out of jail, and you'll hear his story. He's now a professional interventionist, works in the Scottsdale area. You'll hear his story coming up next on a Tuesday edition, on a Tuesday. Can't be a Tuesday edition because it's Thursday. Not sure where that came from. Of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.